Atlanta,
and the world.
Get ready for
The Power to Live Show with Dr. John.
The Power to Live Show with Dr. John.
The time is now.
The time is now.
On Atlanta's premier gospel radio station, WIGO AM 1570.
The Life.
The Power to Live Show with Dr. John.
The talk show you don't want to miss.
It's about finding your gifts, your talents, and your calling.
It's about fulfilling your purpose in life and walking towards your destiny.
It's about learning.
It's about being all you can be.
Getting all you can get.
And living with a purpose.
The Power to Live Show with Dr. John.
Feel free to join in at 404-361-1570.
404-361-1570.
Ladies and gentlemen, Dr. John.
Send our condolences out to the family of Glenn Burley, who passed away in his home in Oklahoma City on December 11th. He's known for gospel compositions based on scripture, and most notably the song Order My Steps, recorded by the Women of Worship for the GMWA choir. He's most noted for that. So we want to send our condolences out to him. Also, Grammy nominations have been announced. The 50th Annual Grammy Award nominees were announced on December 6th. We have some of them Best Gospel Performance. We have, who is this? East to West, Casting Crowns. Blessed and Highly Favored, The Clark Sisters. Never Gonna Break My Faith, Aretha Franklin and Mary J. Blige. Then some singing sisters, they be squealing. And also, With Long Life by Israel and New Breed featuring T-Bone. And then He Set My Life to Music by C.C. Winans. This was off of an album. She was country when country wasn't cool. It's a tribute to Barbara Mandrell. It's the Grammys. This is Grammy nominations. I remember this for Best Gospel Performance. So I'm looking at maybe With Long Life or Best and Highly Favored. That's my take on it. Also, Best Gospel Song. We have Blessed and Highly Favored, written by Karen Clark Sheard. Also, East to West, Mark Hall and Bernie Hearns for Casting Crowns. We have Encourage Yourself by Donna Lawrence. Made to Love, Carrie Barlow, and Praise on the Inside by Jay Moss. I personally think probably going to be between Blessed and Highly Favored and Encourage Yourself by Donna Lawrence. That's my take on it. And then Best Contemporary Soul Gospel Album, Coco, my girl Coco, Grateful, and then followed up with Free to Worship by Fred Hammond, V2 by Jay Moss, T57 by Trinity 57, Alone But Not Alone by Marvin Winans. Now this is going to be a tight one. I probably would say Coco or Marvin, probably would say that. And the last tidbit I'm going to give to you, Best Traditional Soul Gospel Album, Live One Last Time, The Clark Sisters, The Grand Finale, Encourage Yourself, Donna Lawrence, Life Changing, Smokey Norfolk, Thirsty, Marvin Sapp, Church by B.B. Winans. I would give it to Live One Last Time, The Clark Sisters, or Tri-City. Tri-City won a few last times, so probably give it to The Clark Sisters. And the Best Pop Contemporary Gospel Album, I would say Israel and New Breed. That's my take on that. That's the entertainment news for this week. Thank you for indulging me in that for a moment. But right now, what I want to talk about real quick, I think I'm doing the right thing. Yeah. What I want to do real quick, when I introduce this, we're talking about real quick teen violence, man. What is going on with these crazy kids? Man, these kids are crazy out here, man. They snatching old ladies' pocketbooks, and then when they don't get what they want, they beating them up and giving them black eyes and kicking them and putting them in the hospital and whole bunch of crazy stuff. Retaliating, coming back, revenge, shooting, and all those types of things. It's just not cool, man. What in the world is going on? And Christian leaders say that popular culture behind teen violence, this is what the Christian leaders are saying. In the wake of the recent shootings in Colorado, which has sent shockwaves throughout the Christian community, many leaders are pointing to pop culture in an attempt to understand the driving factors behind teen violence. Now, they're pointing to pop culture. Now, and I'm going to say some more about this. I agree to a degree. Robert Peters, president of Morality and Media, said the way violence is presented in the media today could explain some of the recent shootings by young people. Today, films and other media glamorize murder and revenge are presented in the most detailed, sadistic manner possible. More often than not, media also portrays religion in a negative light. I would agree with that. I also say that sometimes we as Christians present Christ and Christianity in a negative light. I need an applause right there, because I think that's a good point. I hope y'all agree with me. If you don't agree, it's the truth anyhow. Because you know what? Sometimes we as Christians, we some mean people. Y'all ain't saying nothing to me, just mean. Christ is not mean. But that's what we do. That's what we do. We present him in this negative light. But on Sunday, Matthew Murray, who was 24 years old, opened fire at a youth at Youth with a Mission Training Center, killing two young adults and injuring two others when he was turned down from spending the night at the dormitory. He was turned down from spending the night at the dormitory, so he gets mad and decides to come back and shoot everybody. So later that day, he went to New Life Church in Colorado Springs and opened fire with a high-powered rifle, killing two teenage girls, wounding their father. A church security guard fired at Murray, putting him down. Okay, but then an autopsy by the El Paso County coroner ruled Murray died of a self-inflicted shot. So evidently, he must have shot himself. Now, authorities say Murray was a former student there at the discipleship training program. He appeared to have acted out of revenge against Christians, according to an online message he posted on Sunday. Now, these shootings came just a few days after a 19-year-old shot and killed 9 people, including himself, and wounded 5 at West Rose Mall in Omaha, Nebraska. Man, what is wrong with these kids? We have to reach out to these young people. We got to reach out to these young people. There's something going on. There's something wrong with this picture. There's no connection here. Now, back in April, 23-year-old, that guy, Cho, killed 32 students and faculty members before committing suicide at Virginia Tech. Now, what some Christian leaders are saying, that while violence in movies and on television is not a phenomenon, the media's portrayal of murder has drastically changed from several decades ago. You know, murder was to be presented in a way that would not inspire intimidation. Brutal killings were not to be presented in detail. Revenge was not to be justified. And I guess they're saying now it is. You know, we do have those so they're blaming it. They seemingly are blaming it on media. I think that may be part of it, but I think it may even go beyond that. I think it may go beyond that, because you know what? I think it starts at home. Parents, come on. Can you step up to the plate? Do you know what your kids are doing? Do you know what your kids are thinking? It's funny, because they were saying that Colorado gunman Murray had shown possible signs of media influence years before the shootings, because he posted lyrics by industrial rock band KMFDM and on a website designed for people who left evangelical religious groups. You know, at a Christmas festival, he played what his former roommate describes as bizarre music. Crazy music. And then investigators also revealed that Murray spent 3 to 5 hours a day on his computer attending a home-based computer school for the past 2 years. I'm saying this, you know, we got to spend more time and be a little bit more attentive to our young people. You know, find out what they're doing. I hear people all the time, well, I don't go in my child's room because that's her privacy. Devil, it's a lie. You paying the mortgage there. She ain't paying no rent. That's your house. You go up in that room if you want to and make sure they do. See what they're doing. See who they're talking to. See who they're texting. See, you know, who they're talking to, what they're doing on the internet. You know, because there's something going on here. There's a disconnect. Not only that, check this out. What are we doing with our young people at church?
Are we paying attention to them, or are we just giving them programs? Are we really paying attention to them? Because this young man, I actually was part of something. But maybe enough attention wasn't being given to him. Now, the irony of this is, as a matter of fact, the irony of this is that for some of us, for some of those young people, coming to church and being part of those programs and being near you as an adult or as a mentor is the closest thing they have to being shepherded. Because when they go home, they might not have that support. They might not have a father at the home. They might be in a single parent situation. They might have two parents, but really, neither one of the parents give them any attention. So they're going through a lot. So when they come to church, that may be their outlet. But if they don't get it at home, and if they don't get it at church, they're screwed. Where are they? They're not getting it at all. So the devil has a field day in their minds and presents all types of temptation, presents all type of options to them. That's a very sad, very jacked up thing. I got a song that I want to play that Donnie Hathaway was so profound with this. You know, he was saying, what in the world is going on?
Too many of you right here. Yeah, what is going on? What is going on, man? What is going on? I think we have a caller on the line, and we want to hear what this caller has to say. I think Brother O is on the line.
Hey, what's going on, Bishop Jay?
Hey, how you doing?
Okay, I have a comment about teen violence, especially teens who have been in the church who may have gone astray. Mm-hmm. Here's a condition that really happens in the church with youth ministries. You know, they have, like, in-groups and out-groups in the youth ministry in the church. So you can be a part of a thriving youth ministry but feel like an outcast in the church.
Right.
What does that do for the youth when they're feeling like an outcast in the church and they're already a part of a youth ministry? This may have been what happened with this kid in Colorado who was once a part of a youth ministry.
Right. Well, that was my point. That was my point. And to some degree, we're not taking enough time and enough one-on-one with these kids. If they're not getting it from home, you know, they're coming into church and trying to be a part of a youth program or whatever, you know, there's some things that need to be addressed. There's some things that have to be addressed to help these kids out so they don't go, wow, I mean, you know, this far out here, man, that, you know, some of them need help. That, to be honest with you, there are a lot of them that need psychological help.
Keep it up.
They need a lot of psychological help, not only spiritual help, but we have to get real. Some of these kids, they need counseling.
Yeah, and the church could possibly need to recognize the limitations. I do believe in the power of the Holy Spirit, and the power of the Holy Spirit to miraculously correct and heal someone, but there are some times when people may need some professional counseling,
right,
which is beyond the help of, if you will, pastoral or even youth pastoral counseling.
Right. I told that it goes hand in hand. That they have. That's why you have to support groups like that to do that. You know what I'm saying? I definitely agree with you. I definitely agree. Thanks for calling, man. I appreciate your call.
Okay. Thank you very much.
All right. It's sad. It's very very it's very 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 sad. You know, it is what it is. So I'm asking church group leaders, parents, let's take a little bit more time. Let's be attentive. Let's pay attention to what's going on. We shouldn't have to ask the question, what's going on? We should be attentive enough to know what's going on. Let's find out what's going on with our youth and our young people, you know, so that, we won't have so many things like this anymore. So we won't have any more things like this anymore. We have what I want to do too is there's a song that I do want to play. There's a song that I do want to play, but I can't get to that right now. But what I'm going to do is switch gears real quick and touch on another matter that I want to touch on real quick. And I'm probably going to have a part two to this one because y'all are going to jump right on this. Relationships, romance, sex. Little applause there. Somebody give me a little applause there. You know, that's a bit. We don't like to talk about that in the church. What is up with that? We don't like to talk about sex in the church. That's like a real big problem. You know, we don't. I'm going to tell you how bad it is. When I was coming up, there were certain things that it was like you heard but you didn't heard, and it's like you see but you didn't see. There were certain things that you were privy to and certain things you weren't. And because there wasn't any conversation about this topic, I remember growing up and saying to myself, now I know I got here somehow. I knew how I got here. But I couldn't fathom the thought of my parents having sex. And that was because they were so sanctified and holy. I mean, you never saw intimacy, you know, growing up like that. You never saw anything like that. Sex was made to seem like it was a dirty word. It was something dirty. It was something unclean. When in all actuality, the Song of Songs, the Song of Solomon, talks exactly about sex. And it talks about that sexual intercourse, the physical and emotional union of a male and female, should be a holy means of celebrating love, producing children, and experiencing pleasure protected by the commitment of marriage. So it's not just a thing. We were taught it was just for producing children. That's not what the word said. If we go to Song of Solomon, the Song of Solomon, to tell you the truth, is to tell of the love between a bridegroom, King Solomon, and his bride, to affirm the sanctity of marriage and to picture God's love for his people. So it's saturated with things of romance and things of that nature, how to love. It talks about sex, that sex is God's gift to his creatures. He endorses sex but restricts its expression to a man and a woman who are committed to each other in marriage. And God wants sex to be motivated by love and committed, not lust. Talks about love, talks about commitment, beauty, and also talks about problems in relationships. It also talks about that. So we're going to get into that. We're going to talk about that later, because we're going to talk about relationships and all those types of things of what it takes, because we have, of course, we know where we are in Christendom right now with a lot of relationships and the divorce rate going up. So we're going to go there and talk about that. But I have a flashback I want to share with you called Love is the Way. It's all about love. And if someone can call in and tell me what year this song was out by Commission, Love is the Way.
Thank you.
Love is the way. That's what I'm talking about. That's what I'm talking about. Love. Love is the way. We're going into a power moment real quick before we close out. The power moment says this. The power of love requires more than the language of feeling to protect it. Sexual expression is such an integral part of our selfhood that we need the boundary of marriage to safeguard our love. Marriage is a celebration of daily commitment between a husband and a wife. Now check this out. While romance keeps a marriage interesting, commitment keeps romance from dwindling away. The decision to commit yourself to your spouse alone begins at the marriage altar. It must be maintained day by day. Our love for someone makes him or her appear beautiful to us. And as you consider things, don't just look for physical attractiveness in a person. Look for the inner qualities that don't fade with time, like spiritual commitment, integrity, sensitivity, and sincerity. You need to learn to love yourself and love somebody else for who they are. It makes a difference. Know that this, sex is not something dirty, but God thinks sex is important, and Scripture contains numerous guidelines for its use and warnings about its misuse. But it is a good thing. Love the person you're with. Take care of the person you're with. Be strong, be safe, stay focused and connected. Don't forget to hit me up on www.myspace.com/Dr. J.D. Washington. That's D-R-J-D Washington. You can also email me at power2live@AOL.com. That's power2live@AOL.com. Don't forget some upcoming shows we're going to have. Ricky Dillard, Marette Brown Clark, Ted Gwynn, Dr. Cornell West, and more. Until then, take care. Peace.
You've been listening to The Power to Live Show with Dr. John. Saturday afternoons at 3:30 on Atlanta's premier gospel radio station, WIGO AM 1570 The Life. The Power to Live Show with Dr. John. Contact Dr. John online at myspace.com/Dr. J.D. Washington. Sponsored by J.D. Washington Managed Promotions and Marketing by Supreme Gospel Entertainment. Online at supremegospel.org. Phone 215-843-3355. The Power to Live Show with Dr. John. Saturdays at 3:30 on WIGO AM 1570 The Light.
Women.